listeners. This is Janine.
And Stephanie.
And welcome to The Course of Course, episode 29. Hey, Steph, how you doing?
Good.
So lots of stuff happening in the news.
Yes.
The big one today was the Supreme Court ruling allowing for gay marriage in the United States.
Hooray!
You know, I think this is one of those long-fought journeys for those in the LGBT community. It was a 5-4 decision from the Supreme Court.
Thank goodness.
So it was close. It was close. I think it really is kind of a step forward for our society.
And the world.
And the world, exactly.
Like other countries.
We are, honestly, I think the other countries have already been there. I think
they are,
we're behind.
But the Christian right's going over to some of these other countries and is preaching to them and telling them that it's bad and wrong.
Well, it didn't work so well here.
That's
true. I don't know how convincing they are, but I think that maybe that argument has had the air kind of pulled out of it.
But yeah, hooray for the United States to finally get with the program.
And hooray for SCOTUS, the Supreme Court. You know, they took their time. And I remember a couple of weeks ago, people were like, why isn't this decision coming out? And they really kind of waited to the last minute.
As always.
Yeah, it's like the last day of June is when everything is final for everything they hear. They got that one out. So I think everyone, at least in that community, was joyous, and we were joyous watching them be joyous.
Yeah, since we're all the same,
we should all
be treated equally.
Yeah, and I don't remember. I think it was Justice Kennedy, I may be wrong, had a great, I'm not sure, I'm not very up on Supreme Court, but they had a great ruling or whatever those are called.
Mm-hmm.
And he had said that, you know, everybody has the right to be married. You know, this is an institution that is for humans, not just for heterosexuals, you know.
For Christians.
Yeah, I mean, everybody has the right. But what I thought was fascinating, I said this before on the podcast, I'm from Cincinnati, Ohio. And Cincinnati has evolved, I will say that. When I was growing up there, it was very, very kind of right-wing, very Republican. And things have changed a bit. I know in the Obama 2 elections, I believe that the Cincinnati county went blue. So they were for Obama. But I was reading the newspaper this morning when the announcement came out that the department or whoever that handles marriage licenses decided to close down today because they were trying to figure out how to handle it. Well, you just open up and you process them.
Yeah,
like, right. I can tell you that from Los Angeles.
Right.
So I don't know if there's many other small communities that, you know, were kind of right-leaning that had an issue with it or not. I didn't read too much on the internet about the opposing positions. Did you?
No, but I did hear that Scalia had a dissenting comment.
Do you remember what he was saying?
No, I don't.
Yeah, it was probably just like, this is wrong. The Bible says wrong.
People should be able to do whatever they want.
You know, it's interesting that human beings try to control each other so much in so many different ways. Like at work, we try to control each other. If, like, I have a higher title and I can control you because I'm your boss and that kind of stuff. Even in society like this, legally, we want to control people by saying, oh no, you can't marry, which is ridiculous anyway. So it's like we are living in the land of the free and the brave, but I'm not so sure that a lot of people are all that free.
Right.
And all that brave.
If we could defund the Defense Department and put all that money into our infrastructure.
I like the idea. I don't know about pulling money out of the defense structure. I'm a supporter of the U.S. military, but in a more positive way. I, you know, abhor war and all that kind of stuff. But there's some pretty amazing things that our military does do. And I like to support them. Obviously, I'm a volunteer at the USO. Mm-hmm. So it does mean something to me. I'm not somebody who appreciates the war machine, though. And I think that's what you're really talking about.
Yeah, I definitely support our troops.
Right.
And think we needed to have a defense system.
Which is unfortunate.
I don't like it that Halliburton and Dick Cheney and like the corporate greed part of it, that they bully politicians and force them into voting for things to financially profit them.
Since we've been talking about politics, do you mind if I talk about Obama?
Sure.
Obama had an amazing day today. He gave, I guess, the eulogy at one of the victims from the South Carolina shooting in the AME church. It was an amazing speech, first of all. It's really emotional and evocative. And he just, on his own, started singing Amazing Grace.
Wow.
On his own. Just started belting it out. It's like, what is happening here? And then everybody in the church stood up and started singing with him. And it's like, you can't help but watch that and start crying because mm-hmm. now you see we're all one. And mm-hmm. you could see that not only just through the visual images of the television, but you can hear one voice, which I thought was so lovely.
I'm going to have to look for that on YouTube.
The nice thing about Obama now, because he doesn't have to run for office, he's a lot freer with his opinions. We didn't really see that with George W. Bush, you know? He was still a little close to the vest, but I love this.
We were in a financial meltdown then.
Yeah, that's a good point. We were.
He was under the radar.
Things were more serious. But I like that Obama is just like, here's his itch. Mm-hmm. This is what's happening. And I remember in Gary's third book, I believe Art in a Person, not sure which one, had mentioned that the United States will have a president that is very advanced and spiritual. And although Obama is a good man, he's not the one they were referring to.
Yeah, did they say it would be someone who's familiar with the course?
I don't remember the details on that one.
Yeah.
But I thought it was really interesting. In our Yahoo discussion group, Rogier von Vlissingen actually emailed something about that. It was an article, and I did read a bit of it. It was pretty long. He had originally opened it up by talking about that passage in Gary's third book about this new leader who's going to be very spiritual and stuff. So I don't know if it's going to be in our lifetime. Janine and Stephanie
Good
lifetime,
question.
Right?
It's certainly not the next election go around.
Yeah, I'm not sure about that. I would love it to be Hillary.
No.
Because I love her.
Not at all.
You know,
I mean, I'd
knows?
Love for her to win just because right. she's female, but she's just as corporate as the rest of them.
Whenever this happens, it would be nice to kind of see it happening, whether we're in body or not. This is all just a big old dream anyway.
Right.
Which is a little hard to remember when you're stuck in it. I still trip out when I think that we are living a dream and yet we go to sleep and yet have another dream. So we're dreaming in the dream. I love that concept.
Yeah.
It's like being in a mirror and seeing it recursively show you over and over again your image. Oh, I'll edit it all out.
Mm-hmm.
That's how I roll, man. All right, so let's talk about your week. What mm-hmm. happened with you?
I feel that I keep taking my life to the course, and in those moments of fears, my friend who's bipolar and his family calling me all the time and him being out on the street again and stuff like that, I'm realizing that I'm probably karmically connected to them, so I am doing the mantra with the parents individually and with him, but I'm doing the mantra now for lots of things, and I feel like the part that I'm at in the workbook is dealing a lot with love, and so I'm trying to be love. I'm loved, I'm loving, I'm love, and just do that whole mantra, and the lessons I feel also help with that.
What lesson are you on?
I think I'm in like the 280s right now. Here 286 was let all things fall into place. This is the day that's been chosen. Hold on, I want to get down further. I've been turning to the course to help me, you know, deal with situations and all. And in lesson 275 has the prayer, which says, your healing voice protects all things today. And so I leave all things to you. I need be anxious over nothing, for your voice will tell me what to do and where to go, to whom to speak and what to say to him, what thoughts to think, what words to give to the world. The safety that I bring is given me, Father. Your voice protects all things through me.
And what does that mean to you?
That means to me that I am guided in these conversations, trying to help these extended family people that are in my life that seem to need help that somehow I've gravitated to. Like,
okay, so let's talk about, like, this is a crazy, really great, you know? Like, real life example. So at work or at play or whatever you're doing, right? Somebody shows themselves to you and not in a positive way.
Well, they might be in suffering or
they
pain.
May be suffering or whatever. Yeah. So what goes through your mind?
What goes through my mind is that this is my brother, and he is reflecting back to me that the ego likes to use these instances of how people can be to separate us.
Is that an automatic realization for you?
I think so.
Good
for
you.
At this point,
I have to work it.
The part where, like, they're reflecting back to me something that I need within me or whatever, all I can think is that the ego is just trying to keep us separated from God.
Right. So for me, when I hear that, like, what is it about me that is coming back at me? So I'll be in an interchange at work, and somebody will say something, and in my mind, I'm thinking, what an idiot. So it's like, okay, stop. You know, what exactly are you recognizing as an idiot in them that is kind of like in you? My immediate reaction is to get very defensive, because my ego is like, what do you mean you're an idiot? You're not an idiot. They're an idiot. It's like this constant conversation in my mind. I'm editing myself as I'm thinking, which is definitely a step further than I was before, because I would be with somebody and think, I don't really like you.
Mm-hmm.
And then I have to stop myself. It's like, well, you really mean you don't really like me? Like, what is happening here? So I'm still in the editing phase. It's not as automatic as it sounds like it is for you. I'm still going, okay, hold on, what's happening? I go into analyzation.
That's what the ego wants us to do.
It's a little slower than immediate, like, jump into I forgive you. But I do am finding myself writing down a lot. Holy Spirit, be with me now. I'm going into a meeting with somebody. It's like, Holy Spirit, please help me see that they are God and I'm God. Mm-hmm. I think that is helping because I have to constantly remind myself it's very easy, at least in my work environment, to be pulled in different directions that aren't exactly healthy in a spiritual context. I find it like almost natural to start taking sides to an issue. It's like, well, I don't agree with that. That wasn't the right thing to do.
Division.
Yeah, the constant division and judgment. And I do feel kind of grateful that I am in such a quasi-toxic soup that it is allowing me opportunities constantly to go, okay, I can choose the right way now. If I was kind of in a slower, calmer environment, I don't know if I would have those kind of opportunities that I have now. So even though it's kind of like a double-edged sword, like, okay, I'm in this toxic environment, I'm dealing with these kind of crazy people, it does allow me to be like, okay, it's cool. You know, I can figure this stuff out. Maybe I can advance faster by having all of these practice sessions with people on a daily basis, you know?
Yeah, you're on an accelerated program.
Yes.
Congratulations.
I don't know if I would choose that again, but since I'm there now, you know how it is. But I do feel, I mean, I'm starting to feel a little more grateful for what I would have called an absolute cluster like a year or two ago. Now I'm kind of seeing it as, okay, here's what it really is. It's still hard for me because you and I were talking about this current situation I have at work. And I was in a discussion with a gentleman I wouldn't exactly say was the most advanced soul, but I have to accept the fact that it's just as advanced as anybody else. He is God, just like I am God, you know, at our source.
Right.
So it's like being
his
able
expression
to,
of that might not be as advanced, but at
well,
his core.
Well, it's kind of like the trappings of his ego is, you know, slightly different than the trappings of mine. I got to say, it's been a crazy, crazy week. But you know, when I survive it, I always survive them. So it's not that bad.
HSJ in Christ, that's been in my workbook. And I was thinking of HSJ as being the gap between heaven and hell, the glue that connects us to God. It's the helper behind the scenes that's working from our holy mind. It's shining light on the truth. It is love, and it's escorting us back to heaven.
When you say HSJ kind of traverses the gap between heaven and hell, what does hell mean in that instance?
This world.
This, okay. So it's like this third dimension.
Anything
dream
that's
state.
Not God is hell.
So heaven is the absence of hell.
And Christ, to me, is us. It's God, they call it God's son, but it's the higher
the
self
sonship
that we all share that is still united with God. And I feel like there is some crossover kind of between the Holy Spirit and Christ. Like Jesus, in a way, I think is a form of Christ. Like he is part of our sonship, being the first one that's actually made it back home. He's also serving as, you know, that glue that's right. coming back to us through the words of the Course to help us remember who we are.
I in the article I'd mentioned, or at least the email from Roger von Vlissingen, he had mentioned something about the Buddha. And I know that in Gary's third book, he talked about the Buddha's last lifetime. So there was the Buddha, and he was the enlightened one, but he wasn't yet ascended. Transcended. He came back one last lifetime, and that's when he ascended. And they had talked about that last lifetime nobody knew about. It was in complete anonymity. So here was the Buddha. And I was like, oh, it's the Buddha, you know? Oh, my goodness. And like, he comes back again. He's just like some regular guy, you know? And then he transcends in that one. I love those kind of anecdotes because, again, it makes it seem like it's attainable. When somebody talks about the Buddha, it's like, oh, I'm not the Buddha. Do I have to? That's going to be like 10 lifetimes.
Yeah, like if you think of being Jesus.
Right.
Like, yeah, right.
Yeah. It's like, but if it's just like Bob Smith down the road, well, okay. I can see that, you know. But if it's like Buddha down the road, I'm like, oh, no way. That's not going to happen.
You know, it has come to me that I've wondered what lifetimes did Jesus have before he was Jesus?
Yes.
And what did he study, and how did those circumstances arise that he learned what he learned to become awakened so that when he came back as Jesus, you know, he clearly came through pretty much awake.
And has he come back since being Jesus? So
I don't think so.
I don't know. Everybody's talking about the second coming. It's like, well,
no, that's just a Bible-y Christian
thing. No, I know
thing.
That, but I'm just saying, like,
the second coming is us all awakening back in heaven, according to the Course.
Well, like Art and Persa show up to Gary. Wouldn't it be awesome if Jesus just showed up and we were like, really, you wore the those clothes? Mm-hmm. What's with those sandals? Let's get you some real shoes.
I've had Jesus appear to me before in dreams.
In flesh, though.
Yeah. I mean, it was vivid enough that I see that this is a dream.
Yeah.
I just want to wake up from it all.
Me too. Mm. Me too.
Well, let me see here. I Need Do Nothing in Lesson 286 is also a really helpful one. In you, every conflict has been resolved. In you, everything I hope to find has already been given. Your peace is mine. My heart is quiet. My mind is at rest. Your love is in heaven and your love is mine. That was just kind of a synopsis of that. But I love the idea of I don't need to figure things out. I don't need to do anything except just give the circumstance over to the Holy Spirit and let him take care of it. That's mm-hmm. the behind the scenes working from the holy mind part. And
right.
And I just feel like if I can just be as conscious as I can in every moment, of course, there's a lot of moments I'm not, but then I'm going to like bust open the dream.
I was thinking the other day that also one of the things Gary Renard had mentioned in his book is enlightenment just comes on. It's just one day you just smoothly wake up and go, oh, mm-hmm. you know what I mean? Like I've become enlightened. And I was thinking at work, and this is where my ego comes in. Probably on Monday or Tuesday, I thought, well, look how advanced I've become. It just happened. And then, boom, something occurs. And I'm like, well, that didn't last long.
Knocked you off.
Right. It's like, well, it was blissful a couple seconds anyway.
In Gary's book, too, Your Immortal Reality, he talks about an interlocking chain of forgiveness, which when completed is when the atonement happens. I still think about, like, the computer, like in Alex's book as well, how it's all just
Alex
a hollow.
Yeah,
mm-hmm. it's all just a grid or a that sacred geometry. It's mm-hmm. all just bit data bits. It's all just pieces, and that somehow from that moment of separation with the what if, it just started dividing. So if we can get to that interlocking chain of forgiveness. So like these people with, I'm just going to say the mental illnesses that somehow I've gravitated to mm-hmm. that call me and ask me for coaching and support, like somehow we are interlocked. And right. and if I can just keep being there and say we are Christ, pure and innocent, all is forgiven and released, and know that they're not really doing these actions like stealing and bad drugs and doing bad, what I would say bad things, that it's all connected. Part of that illusion that I think the ego uses to spin us out and keep us separated, but I also think it's part of the path backwards, and that somehow we got to get through this backward path back to God. Maybe the meditation and the atoning is a part of it, but I think just continuing to forgive every single little thing that we can think of that comes up at us, because it's constant, helps.
No, I absolutely agree. Mm-hmm. I was telling you about some podcasts I was listening to, and one of them was this gentleman named Harris Whittles. Harris was a comedy writer on the show Parks and Recreation, and he was kind of talking through this podcast about what it was like being addicted to drugs. What struck me about him is not only was he really funny, I just found him so refreshingly honest. And he basically talked about getting hooked on drugs and what it was like.
And it was heroin.
It was heroin.
It's not like it's weed. I mean, heroin's really
right. It's intense. Pretty serious. But he was pretty open about his stints in rehab facilities and what it was like to chase the dragon, so to speak, and look for that high. I really appreciated how honest he was, how clear he was in communicating. And he actually passed away in February of 2015.
Well, he committed suicide.
He overdosed, whether it was intentional or not, on heroin.
Anyone who does heroin is taking their life in their own hands, in my opinion.
Yeah, it's like, what was it that was so fascinating to like find it? He talked in the podcast about actually going to, I think it was MacArthur Park or Skid Row or something like that in Los Angeles, and actually actively looking for a heroin dealer because he didn't know one. It's like, why would you do that? It's like pursuit of an experience.
Yeah, exactly.
And not having fear about it. Like, if it were me, I'd be like, oh my gosh, I'm not going down there. But
it's a different voice that's driving that train.
Right. And he was saying, you know, when you're struggling through an addiction, you truly believe that you're a logical person.
Yeah.
And the decisions you make are not logical in any way. So after listening to these two podcasts, I thought, I wonder how he's doing now. I mean, to me, he just seemed like a charming fellow who became fascinated with drugs that are not good nor bad in a bigger picture, experienced them and passed away. And now he's doing other things. I remember when he passed, I was reading stuff on the internet and people saying, oh, it's so sad, you know, he passed away so young. But really, what difference does it make? I mean, we've talked about this before. I mean, we all have to go.
In Gary's book, he talks about suicide and how it's the number one way that people exit.
I just think I still need to do an awful lot of forgiveness stuff before I'm going to go. Mm. Because I want this to be the last one. Mm-hmm. It might not be. I don't care. That's my intention.
Right.
You know, I want to make the most of it. I don't want to just bounce out now because I got stuff to do.
Right.
I'm on a mission. A mission from God.
Right. And like his life or Billy Finger's life or even my bipolar schizophrenic friend's life, who's to say that they're not going to transcend when they do pass over?
And that was the gift, I think, from the Billy Finger's book is learning that you don't have to be holy or, you know, perfect to transcend.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I've been... Sometimes I'm doing actions or things and I get little glimpses or feelings like, oh, I've been a Russian chef before, or, oh, I've been a Native Indian medicine lady or an Egyptian this or that, or like all kinds of things. And who knows if it's true or not, but probably knowing now what we know about the collective consciousness and the mind all being related, chances are it probably is true, not right. True, but you know what mm-hmm. I mean. And so I've been trying to think about how do I give peace to myself. And there was a lesson that I've had up on my, you know, post-it board for a long time. Peace to my mind, let all my thoughts be still. And this is another mantra that I've taken on. And sometimes I'll just say it over and over and over and over.
What does it mean to be still?
It means that you're not being harassed by the ego. Okay. At least for me, it does. Doesn't mean that I have to sit down and meditate and be with God. That is a great way to go about it. But things are not going well. I'll just say to myself, peace to my mind, let all my thoughts be still. It's a calmness. And I've even started singing it. And I feel like I've been a singer in different past lives. I've always been gravitating towards the big band music and different world music. I've taken all kinds of classes and things. And sometimes I just start singing. I just start singing. It's really wild.
I'm sure the neighbors are appreciative.
I don't think I sing that loud.
I think the whole having experiences concurrently in different lifetimes mm-hmm. is a fascinating one because, you know, I'm like this very girly girl from the Midwest and I got this thing about being a soldier.
Oh, yeah. You That's know? When Jesus appeared to me, was in a soldier lifetime in Virginia.
Yeah. Oh, interesting.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's like these strange like interests and stuff that I have. I'm like, I'm really into history. I'm really into certain things that has no bearing on the Janine lifetime currently. Right. It's just their interest. I don't know where they came from, but I'm just interested in that stuff.
Yeah, I think we used to call them bleed-throughs.
Bleed-throughs, yeah.
Personality traits would come through. And mm-hmm.
I think in this one, I love humor and laughing and really good comedy so much. Mm-hmm. If it were up to me, I would just be doing it every day. I'm not somebody who's a performer, but I think I am somebody who likes to write humorously. So that gives me some sort of joy. And I find joy reading other people's stuff. I'm a huge reader anyway. Mm-hmm. So the idea of reading comedy just makes me smile. But I also like listening to podcasts because they do like elevate me in a way. Going into a meeting after I've kind of been amused by a podcast puts me in the right mood. It's hard to not be happy or positive after listening to it. I just think that humor is like my medicine.
I remember my grandmother saying, Norman Cousins, he had written a book, this might have been in the 80s, that watching comedy movies help cancer patients get over or get healed faster.
There was also that Robin Williams movie. He was a clown or something. Yeah, I don't remember what it was called. But, you know, humor means something to people.
Mm-hmm.
I almost feel like it's the great leveler. No matter where you go in any culture, people always naturally love to laugh.
It is written throughout the course about how important laughter is. Mm-hmm.
I just wish the course had more jokes in it. Not that I'm editing Jesus or anything, but, you know, suggestion box, I'll put that in there. Maybe if you see him in your dream, if you can drop a note for me.
Right.
Hey, I was talking to Janine, and she was hoping that maybe you could throw in a little more Jesus jokes. Humor in there. That would be great.
We have Gary for that, too. He writes jokes. We have Gary
for that. That's true. In the next couple of weeks, you're going to be in Canada.
Yes, I am.
You're going to be visiting your mom.
And she's been a wonderful spiritual teacher for me.
She's a pretty amazing woman.
Yeah. She's the one that moved to Virginia Beach where the ARE is. So.
And that's where I met her.
And that's why I went there. And mm-hmm. that's how, yeah, we got to
it's
meet.
It's like she's your pioneer woman.
She's always had an open house policy. You know, whenever I'd have friends over, or I always liked the international kids and they'd come stay with us. And she was always very open. And she was the one that was interested in transcendental meditation or EST. And
so you're going to be there for a few weeks doing gardening and just experiencing nature in Canada.
Yes.
And this is the Canada north of
Vancouver. It's the west coast on a tiny little island with a lot of artists. Mm-hmm. It's a beautiful place. I would love to live there someday.
Well, I'm pretty sure you will be.
Yeah, at least for part of the year.
Yeah, that would be great. So, listeners, we will be back probably in a couple weeks when Stephanie returns from her international travel.
Mid-July. So have a wonderful summer.
Yeah.
4th of July.
Exactly. Independence Day.
Yeah. We used to say Interdependence Day when I lived at the environmental spiritual community.
What does that mean, Interdependence Day?
It's like we're all connected.
Oh, well, that's a great way to end our podcast. Mm. This is the podcast number 30 of The Course of Course, and we can't wait to bring that to you. Have a fantastic 4th of July weekend.
Barbecue your veggies.
Barbecue your veggies. Exactly. That's your parting thought.
That's
all right. Thank you very much, everyone. We will see you soon.